Red Callum and Sweet Kate by Bramblethorn. Don't go into the crypt, folks said, for it's home to ghosts and the restless dead. And those who go down to the crypt, so they say, will never return to the warm light of day. But Red Callum was bold, and he wasn't afraid. On his mind was the way of a man and a maid. Now he was a wild one, as yet still unwed, but that hadn't stopped him from filling his bed. He'd started with Sue. They all did down that way. She'd batted her eyes and she'd led him astray. Then he'd moved on to Amy, the butcher's young wife, and hid from her husband in fear of his life. After that he met Megan, who taught him some tricks, how to tease and to tempt, where to touch, what to lick. He'd good looks, a nice voice, he knew how to impress, and he learned how to talk a wench out of her dress. By his 21st year he'd lost count of his score, yet Red Callum was eager to try many more. The more that he lay with, the more his fame grew. Women queued just to see if the rumours were true. He'd had widows and virgins, brunettes, reds and blondes, in bedrooms and churches, in haystacks and ponds. On his birthday he'd bedded 3 sisters at once, and for Christmas he'd screwed a whole convent of nuns. He was starting to think that he'd soon settle down, for he'd very near done every woman in town. But Red Callum's fool pride wouldn't let him forget there was just one last lady he hadn't had yet. For Miss Catherine Morton had standards, she said. You really think I would take you to my bed? I've consulted my friends, and they say you're well hung, and you know how to do what you ought with your tongue. I suppose that's enough for the yokels round here, but my virtue, Red Callum, is rather more dear. He wooed her with flowers, he wooed her with song. She laughed in his face and said, go, run along. Till at last he plain begged her, Kate, what must I do for the pleasure of spending my passion with you? About time that you asked, for I have to admit I could fancy you if you'd just grow up a bit. What I want is a man, one with courage and pluck, who'll meet danger head on, that's the kind I might fuck. Here's my test. If you'll spend this next Walpurgis night alone in the crypt, then I'll try you. All right. Is that all? Callum said. If I stay there inside all alone for the night, then you'll give me a ride? Sure I'll do it, though, seeing that's not till next week. Could I get an advance? But she scoffed at his cheek. So he waited the week out, set off for the tomb as the daylight gave way to the Halloween gloom. Through the cemetery gate, past sad statues of stone, to the place at the back where the crypt stood alone. No one knew whose it was. It was centuries old, the name long since eroded by weather and mould. As he stood at the door, Red felt twinges of doubt, but the thought of Sweet Kate stopped him chickening out. So he levered it open, a cold scraping sound. Then he jammed it ajar and walked deep underground. Down the stairs, deeper down, to the chamber below, where dozens of coffins lay row upon row. He inspected the room in the flickering light, and then unpacked his things to bed down for the night. He'd brought matches, a sandwich, some beer and a lamp, and 2 blankets to keep out the chill and the damp. So he finished his supper, then laid himself down. He had almost dozed off when he heard a soft sound. Was it mice? Was it spiders? Quite probably so, but it's easy for fear to take hold down below. Callum couldn't find sleep with such thoughts in his head, so imagined himself in Sweet Catherine's bed. He pictured her naked, her legs open wide, her hips arching, eager to draw him inside. He spat in his hand and he reached for his shaft, and that's when, behind him, Miss Catherine laughed. I didn't quite trust you to honour our bet, so I hid here myself. Thought I'd watch a while yet, but I'm cold. You look warm. Shall we call the bet done? For I'm sure now you're manly enough for some fun. She crawled in beside him. She blew out the light and plunged the whole room into fathomless night. Her lips kissed his shoulder. Her hand stroked his chest. He wriggled around and took hold of her breast. She said, "Easy now, lover. Let me take the lead. Just lie on your back. Let me find what I need." He lay back and he smiled as her fingers moved down to the prick that had plumbed every lady in town. They stroked it and tugged it, caressed it and squeezed, brought him near to the edge till he whispered, "Kate, please, let me spend deep inside, Kate. I need you tonight." Her grip on him tightened. She said, "Well, all right." Her hand guided his to the heat of her cunt. He fondled, he fingered, she made a soft grunt. Then she settled astride him, pushed down with a poppy thrust deep inside. She said, "Don't you dare stop." They gyrated together in feverish lust as the coffins around them lay silent in dust, till he whispered, "I'm coming." Her quim held him tight as he spurted his seed in the glimmerless night. She gasped, "That was fantastic! Let's try it again, if you think your endurance can handle the strain." He said, "Certainly, darling, I'm ready for more, but I'm getting a chill from this cold marble floor." Her hand stroked his face and her lips touched his cock as the bell in the church tower struck 12 o'clock. Her teeth nipped at his chest. Callum cuckolded and said, "Aren't you nervous here, Kate? Let's go find a real bed." "Oh, there's nothing for me to be scared of, my dear. It's my family, the Mortons, who lie buried here." Kate's tongue flicked his ear, and her lips squeezed his rod, and that's when Red realized that something was odd. Her voice came from behind him. "And why should we go, when you're here, in my home, in my bed down below?" Up above, the wind rose, and Red heard metal clang. The crypt door blew wide open, then closed with a bang. Callum groped for his matches. He struck up a light, then he shrieked as he witnessed a terrible sight. A vision of horror near curdled his heart, for Miss Catherine Morton had come quite apart. Her body, well, some of it, lay on the ground, but several pieces were roaming around. One eye had come loose from its home in her face. It had rolled down her body and popped into place in a gap in one breast where her nipple had been. It winked at him now with an air quite obscene. A hand climbed his leg like some five-legged bug, and her tongue floated freely, a hovering slug. Her lips were red leeches attached to his prick. The way that they writhed made him noisily sick. And beneath her pink skin, things were wriggling about. But that's all that he saw. The match flickered out. Catherine laughed. Her hair bound him. Her lips smacked and sucked. "I did promise I'd fuck you. Now, my darling, you're fucked." He felt himself enter her. Where, he knew not, but he heard Catherine groan. "Yes, my love, that's the spot. You've quite opened me up. Now you're open for me, for your flesh is the lock and my bones are the key." She undressed him of skin. She undressed him of meat. "Oh, you're just what I need to make me complete. Fill me up," her lungs wheezed. "Fuck me hard. Give me more," as their entrails entwined on the cold marble floor. "No, don't stop, my dear Callum. What's wrong? Are you tired?" But his struggles had ceased. The poor lad had expired. Silence settled again. Then she playfully said, "Now at last I can see why they called the lad Red." "Don't go into the crypt," folks said, "for it's home to ghosts and the restless dead." But Red Callum went down to the crypt, so they say, and he never returned to the warm light of day. The end.